So for the last couple of weeks, we've been using these opportunities on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights to have a quick burst of Parsha. 15 minutes to take a look at a piece of the Parsha. This week, there's no Parsha of Shavuot in the usual sense. I thought we could take the opportunity instead to take a look at a very curious piece of Tanakh that is, in many ways, the highlight in terms of the laning. One of the highlights in terms of the laning of Shabbos Chol Moed Pesach. And that is in a sense, one of the most mysterious of the 24 Sifrei Tanakh is Shir HaShirim. We know we have five Megillos that we read, the five shorter Svarim of Ksuvim, which we have either Din or Minhag Yisrael to read in particular times of the Jewish calendar. You have Esther on Purim, Eicha on Tisha B'Av, and Rus Koheles and Shir HaShirim for Shavuos, Sukkos, and Pesach. And Shir HaShirim is certainly a mystery. And some of us have the practice to read the Psukim of Shir HaShirim every Friday evening when Shabbos comes in. Some of us only have a chance to hear the Psukim once a year on Shabbos Chol Moed Pesach. There's so many mysteries. Remember when you open up a Shir HaShirim and it's very hard to know even basics. So we know the Midrashim talk about it as a mashal for relation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and perhaps particular great moments, Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah and so on, Binyan Beis HaMikdash and so on and so forth. This reading the Psukim is so difficult and hard to know what's the flow, what does one pasuk have to do with the next pasuk, how many characters are there even, how many different figures, how many people are there over the course of Shir HaShirim? And certainly we wonder, you read the Psukim, some of it seems very passionate. And it strikes us particularly when we take a look at the following. Take a look at the following Mishnah. Here, Mishnah, the very end of the third parak of Maseches Yadayim. Maseches Yadayim, the very end of Seder Taurus, the very end of Mishnayos. Maseches Yadayim talks about different dinim, typically dim drabanan, causes midrabanan to have a, when there's a tumah min haTorah, a person is tamei min haTorah, his entire body is either tamei or tahar. But there were certain types of tumah midrabanan which Chazal created. Some of them, midrabanan, the whole person is tameh, and sometimes just a person's hands are tameh. And ironically, one of the types of tumas yadayim midrabanan is if a Jew touches kisvei hakodesh. A Jew touches one of the svarim of Tanakh written on cloth, not a printed Tanakh, but not a printed Yeshayahu. But if a Jew touches a sefer Yeshayahu written on cloth with his hands, so his hands become tameh. How come? There's a side point, an interesting side point. The reason why svarim tameh yadayim is because b'tkufas Chazal there was a problem. You had Jewish farmers who growing produce, Jewish farmer growing barley, Jewish farmer growing wheat, growing something else in his field, and he sets aside 2% of the crop as truma to be given to the kohen. If there's no kohen nearby, so he's going to have to put it away until the kohen passes by. Now, the Truma has Kedusha. He doesn't want to just leave it around to get mixed in with everything else. So he needs a good place to put it. So apparently there was a point at which many Jewish farmers had the idea, let's leave the Truma next to the Svarim. Halalu Kodesh v'halalu Kodesh. They're both Kodesh. So it seems appropriate. In principle, makes good sense. Leave the Truma in the Svarim shrank together with the Sifrei Kodesh. Of course, the problem is that if you leave Truma around, it's likely to bring mice. And if the truma is right next to the svarim, the mice come and nibble on the truma, they may nibble on the svarim as well. So what do you do? So in order to solve that problem, in order to discourage Jews from leaving their truma next to their sifrei kodesh, Chazal made a din drabanan. Truma is very susceptible to tumah, and if truma becomes tameh, it has to be disposed of. So Chazal made a rule midrabanan. Ironically, the svarim themselves are not tameh, but if I touch the svarim, my hands are tameh until I matar my hands. They create this Tumah Drabanan to discourage people from leaving the Truma next to the Sifrei Kodesh. It's sort of an ironic din that because of the Kedusha of Svarim, your hands are tame if they touch them. But okay, we've certainly come to recognize the last couple of weeks that sometimes there are things that that work in ironic. Sometimes we have dinim drabanan, siyagim that work in ironic ways. Right? In order to, we distance ourselves over Pesach, kedei sheyishmer psachim harbes, so that we could be alive and well and come together in the future to celebrate many more yamim tovim. And so on and so forth. So here we have another ironic din drabanan, a takana drabanan. You touch Sifrei Kodesh, your hands are tame. That way you'll maintain distance. You maintain distance between the Sifrei Kodesh and the Truma. Be that as it may, we have this din drabanan. The Sifrei Kodesh and works of Sfarim of Tanakh are metamin as hayadayim. Here we have at the end of the third parak of Maseches Yadayim some discussion about what qualifies as Sifrei Kodesh. I had some discussion earlier in Mishnah Habai Ritzulis of Tefillin. Do they qualify? Do they not qualify? And here in Perek, in the last Mishnah of Perek Gimel, talk about how about if you have a part of a sefer the size of a Heben Soha Aron, it's also Matame. And then the Mishnah gets into the question of which are the Sifrei, which are the Kisvei HaKodesh? Which Svarim actually belong to Tanakh? Interesting. We sort of take it as a given. We know it's in the Tanakh, the Chavdal Sifrei HaKodesh. We have a long machlokas, Hatanan. Tanakama says, Shira Shira Koheles, Metaman Sayadayim. They make the hands tame, meaning they belong to the Tanakh. Rabbi Huda says, Shira Shirim, yes, but Koheles is a machlokas, an earlier Tanam. Rabbi Yossi says, Koheles is not Metaman Sayadayim. Shira Shirim is a machlokas. Rabbi Shimon says, Machlokas Beshan Bezhillel. And Shem Ben Azai has his tradition back and forth and back and forth. Apparently both Shira Shira and Koheles, there was some dispute, or at least a dispute about whether there was a dispute. There had been some discussion about those two of Shira, of Shlomo HaMelech's three Svarim, whether Shira Shira and Koheles are in or not in, maybe one is not. And then Rabbi Akiva says, Chas V'Shalom, I'm Rabbi Akiva, Chas V'Shalom. I think it's one of the very few times you have the terminology in Mishnayis. Chas v'shalom. Lo nechlak adam Yisrael asher hashem shlo tamizdem. He's Rabbi Akiva says, how could you say that any Jew ever disputed the Kedusha of Shir Hashirim? How could you say that any Jew ever disputed whether or not Shir Hashirim belongs to Kisvei HaKodesh, belongs to the Sfarim of Tanakh? Chalila. Ein kol ha'olam kulo kedai kem shenitim bo Shir Hashirim l'Yisrael. Wow. Rabbi Akiva says, no day was as worthwhile as the day the Jewish people got Shir Hashirim. Wow. Shekol HaKsuvim Kodesh, Shir Hashirim Kodesh Kadashim. All of the Sifrei Tanakh are holy. Shir Hashirim, wow, super holy. We look at this Mishnah and say, wow, Shir Hashirim. I want to learn Shir Hashirim. This must be amazing. But then we open a Shir Hashirim, as I said before, we're not sure whether we're coming or going. You know what? How does one pasuk connect to the next? Or who are the characters? What's going on? As we said before, Rashi and many of the Mefarshim quote the Midrashim that interpret the Psukim of Shir Hashirim as Mishalim, as allegory, as metaphor for the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. What I want to share with you in the next couple of minutes is a taste of a peek at Shir Hashirim using the approach of the Malbim. The Malbim opens in his introduction to Shir Hashirim. He says, this question, well, what's it all about? And he says, you know, the Chazal have a principle, Ein Mikra Yotzi Midei Pshuto. That every pasuk in Tanakh has Pshuto Shel Mikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and beyond that, the Sifrei Nach as well, typically with multiple layers of meaning. There's the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the straightforward meaning, and then there'll be additional layers of meaning as well, you know, understandings and interpretations of Derech Drash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chazdo V'tuvo, gave us text that has multiple layers of meaning embedded within each line. Gemara tells us, Ein Mikra Yotzim De Pshuto. We often focus on the additional levels of meaning. We often focus on the Midrash HaPsukim. And they are true. And at the same time, the Gemara reminds us not to neglect Pshuto Shel Mikra. So the Malbim says, you know, on the surface level, this is a story of a boy and a girl. And he says, what I want to do is explain to you two things. I want to explain to you the mashal, what the story in Shir HaShirim is. But I also want to explain to you the nimshal al derech pshat. He says, I want to explain to you the pshat level of what this is a metaphor for, what this is supposed to mean. He says, what it means, the meaning of it, al derech drash, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kal Yisrael. But he says, the meaning of it, al derech pshat, is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kal Yisrael, it's a metaphor, al derech pshat, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and one particular Jew, an individual Jew's relationship with Kal Yisrael. Specifically, the Malbim says, Shlomo HaMelech, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this idea that Shir HaShirim is meant to capture the relationship between an individual Jew and Kal Yisrael, so that, as a matter of fact, the Malbim wrote it in the 1800s, many centuries before him, one of the Rishonim wrote this as well. Let me show you a Rambam. In the final closing chapter of a Sefer Hamada, in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Yud, he describes the ideal type of Avos Hashem, where a Jew is enwrapped in Avos Hashem. So this is sort of the hitch your wagon to a star. You know, a Jew strives to reach a level over the course of months and years and decades of increasing living a life that's enraptured with the love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam's language is very poetic. To grow, to be a person whose Kadosh Baruch Hu is on one's mind at all times. Halacha Gimel says, the ultimate ideal is Ava Ru'uya Shiyahavas Hashem for a human being to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ava Gedola Yaseira, an extraordinarily great love. Aza Ma'od, very powerful. It's a very superlative language for the Rambam. Achnei nafsho keshura ba'avas Hashem. I'm tied up with the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shoge ba'tamer ke'elu chole ha'ava. I can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu off my mind. There is someone who's lovesick. A man who's lovesick for a woman. Ein daito penuyim avas osha isha. He can't clear that woman out of his mind. Hu shoge ba'tamer. Always on her, she's always on his mind. Bim b'shivto, bim b'kumo, b'shashu ocho v'shosa. I'm sitting, I'm standing, I'm eating, I'm drinking, whatever it is. She's always on my mind. Yeser mizet tihye avas Hashem b'leiv ohavav. He says, ideally a Jew should strive to have an even more powerful, more all-encompassing love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shogim ba'tamid. That Kodesh Baruch Hu was always in our thoughts. Kemo shetzivanu b'chol vav v'chol nafsha. Possibly say several times a day. To love a Kodesh Baruch Hu with all one's heart, with all one's soul. Again, the Gemara says al derech drash. Maybe that refers to afil hu notas nafshecha, the ultimate sacrifice of mesiras nefesh. So that's al derech drash. But al derech pshat, it means that one's entire heart and mind ought to be ideally consumed in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says, "Who should Shlomo Amar Derech Mashal? Ki Cholas Ahava Ani." It's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, one of the most evocative psukim in Shir HaShirim. The woman says, "I'm lovesick. I'm lovesick for you." And then he says, "It's not just." Rambam says, "Not just one pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The Chol Shir HaShirim Mashal Hu Le'in Zeh." It closes Perek Gid Olach Gimel Hilchos Tshuva. All of Shir HaShirim is a mashal for this topic. Beautiful line, Rambam. But one second. All of Shir HaShirim is a mashal for this? This isn't what the Midrashim describe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael in great moments in Jewish history. He's describing an individual Jew's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see that the Rambam is already saying that there's another approach aside from that of the Midrashim. And as the Malbim goes on to develop, I don't remember the Malbim directly quoting this Rambam, but I think the Rambam is a forerunner of the Malbim's approach that al derech drash shir shim is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Al derech pshat shir shim is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and an individual Jew. And that's where the Malbim is going to go in terms of the nimshal al derech pshat, the pshat level of what's the meaning of the poetry of shir shim. But before we even get to that, what's the mashal? What's the story? What's the literal meaning before we get to talking about what it's a metaphor, about what it's a metaphor? So the Malbim explains, if you work your way through a Shir HaShirim, and you have a couple of days between now and Shabbos to work your way through in greater detail, he says you'll find three major characters: the Dod, the Raya, and the Melech, or HaMelech Shlomo. Typically the Melech. See, he says, the Malbim says, in terms of the Mashal, what's the story of Shir HaShirim, even though it looks at first like it's this sort of disconnected, disparate pieces, he says, no. There's one smooth story that connects almost the entire Shir HaShirim. It's a play in five acts, and then there's an epilogue at the end. And the play in five acts is the drama of this Raya, of this woman who had been in love with a dod, who had been in love with her beloved, her boyfriend, who is a shepherd, and she's yearning for him. But she's been taken by the king into the royal palace. The king wants her for himself, but she's pining and she's dreaming for the shepherd boy, for the dod. The raya keeps dreaming about how she can reconnect with the dod and escape the palace, escape the melech. And over the course of Shir HaShirim, the Malbim sees Shir HaShirim, as I mentioned before, five acts, five Shirim, because there are five major episodes in this story. Sefer Melachim describes Shlomo HaMelech's writing as Shiro, the Shir that he wrote I believe the language of the Pasuk is Elef V'Chamesh. An Aleph, which sounds like 1,005. But he understands it actually means there are five basic pieces of the Shir, and then there's the Shir HaAleph, the epilogue, the last four or five psukim at the very end. And what are the five major elements of the story? So the Malbim explains that there are five times, each episode, you see, I tried to lay out in this document, to break up Shir HaShirim the way the Malbim describes. In each section, the first four sections, the Raya attempts to leave the palace and reconnect with her dod, and each time she gets pulled back. And each of the first four times, she ends up being returned to the palace. The first Shir begins in the second Pasuk, Yishakenim and Ashikas Piyum. Like the opening pasuk, Shir HaShirim HaShal Shlomo, this is one Shir which is composed of five, six Shirim. Yishakeni is the beginning of the first Shir. Mashcheni Acharecha Narutza, she says to him, please draw me after you. I'm going to run after you. Haviyani Melech Adarav, the king brought me into his chambers, but I'm going to escape and I'm going to reconnect with you. And that takes her through Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, where she's brought back, and she tells the Bnei Yerushalayim, I intend to return to my dod again. Kol dodi hinei zebav, Beis Ches is the second shir. The third shir begins with the beginning of Paragimel, Amishkavi Balelos. She's in bed, but she's dreaming about the dod, and she walks outside in the middle of the night to look for him, so on and so forth, and she's ultimately brought back. After a lengthy shir, she's brought back to the palace, and that ends the beginning of Parakeh. The fourth shir, Ani Yishena V'Libi Er, which we'll come back to in a moment, but that's a different sort of shir. She's asleep. The Rav gave a very famous drasha about the beginning of the fourth shir, beginning of the Parakeh, Pasuk Beis. So she's asleep. She's in bed. And then the dod comes knocking. This is the first time in Shir HaShirim that instead of she's seeking out the dod came for her, and ironically, She's lazy and she's ready in bed. She's in her pajamas. Her feet are clean. Making excuses, and the knocking keeps going. And she's saying to herself, nah, I'm not going to get out of bed. And finally, knocking stops. And she realizes, Gavalt, the dod was at the door. I've been looking for him for so long. And he was knocking at the door. He came, he's on the other side of the door. And I just blew off the opportunity because of nothing really, narishkeit, laziness. And she leaps out of bed after the knocking has stopped and flies to the door, and he's gone. She runs madly through Yerushalayim. He's nowhere to be found. And then finally comes the Shira Hamishi, which begins with the beginning of Perek Vav and takes it through, goes up until Perek Ches, Pasuk Zayin. Incredibly powerful psukim. My rabim lo yuchlu l'chaposes ahava. The greatest of waters cannot put out the fire of the love between the dod and the raya. And the way the Malbim understands is that over the course of these five shirim, over the first four, there's ebb and flow, but each time she seeks to reconnect with the dod, is ultimately pulled back to the palace. The fifth time, she succeeds in connecting, rendezvousing with the dod, and they ride off into the sunset, as it were. So that is, for the Malbim, the mashal. That is the story. And with his breakdown, the pieces begin to fall into place. And he lays this out in a gorgeous introduction that he has. He has a several-page introduction over the course of which he lays the last page introduction. He actually lays this out section by section. And then, once you open a shirim with the Malbim, he takes you through page by page, pasuk by pasuk, explain how each pasuk fits into this overall structure. And again, this is half the story. This is the mashal. The mashal of the girl and the shepherd with whom she's in love, and the king who has captured her, and whose palace she must return. And what's the nimshal derech pshat? So as we saw, the Rambam understands, already wrote many centuries ago, that Shir HaShirim is a mashal not only for Kalal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but an individual Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malbim specifically says Shlomo HaMelech. The Malbim says this is Shlomo HaMelech's, I guess you could call it Shlomo HaMelech's lyrical diary, his diary in verse of his prophetic experiences. This is a diary that Shlomo HaMelech kept of his experiences with Nevuah. Because the Malbim explains that in the Nimshal, the dod is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shepherd, the ultimate shepherd, is Ribon Shalom. The Raya, the girl who's passionate about the dod, she is Shlomo HaMelech's neshama. And HaMelech Shlomo, the king, and the palace refer to Shlomo HaMelech's body. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose. Our neshamas yearn for Ribon Shalom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that neshama should be joined with the body, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be in Olam HaZeh, the Olam HaMaaseh, where there are so many mitzvahs for us to do, and there's so many opportunities, and we can only accomplish and we can only produce spiritually when we're in the Olam HaNisayin, when we're in the physical Olam HaZeh. At the same time, our neshamas pine for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so there's this back and forth, and he says that's the Raya, the girl, in Shir HaShirim, that's Shlomo HaMelech's neshama, which is in, by divine design, with HaMelech Shlomo, with the Beis HaMelech. The Raya, the neshama, is in Shlomo HaMelech's body, but the neshama pines for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, the first four Shirim refer to four different experiences that Shlomo HaMelech has with Nevuah. And each one, we began to see as we were taking a look, each one has a little bit of a different flavor. Some are more vivid and some are shorter. Some, the Raya is seeking out the dod, and some, the dod needs to come to the Raya, and the Raya is as it were, asleep. See, he understands that the first shir, very passionate, is that nevuah that Shlomo Melech has at the very beginning of his reign. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and asks him, what would you like? And he had brought so many kabanas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes by Chalom HaLaila. This is in Malachim Paragimel. And Rav Hashem says, what would you like? And he says, do you want wealth? Do you want this? Do you want that? And Shlomo Melech asks for Chachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, hey Tavta, you asked well, that was the right answer. And immediately after he awakens and you see right away the great Chachma Shlomo with the story of the two women. That's that incredibly positive, optimistic experience with Nevuah is the first rendezvous of the Dod with the Raya, the first shir. The second shir, which is much shorter, is the brief Nevuah that Shlomo Melech has at the beginning of the building of Beis HaMikdash. The third shir, which is very expansive, and begins as we saw, Mishkavi Balelo, so he's, the Rai is passionately dreaming about the Dod. That's a reference to the Nevuah that Shlomo has at the conclusion of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. You remember the second Beis HaMikdash, this is a multiple Yontif Tik Haftaris. We're laying down how Shlomo has this long and beautiful tefillah. And at the inauguration of Beis HaMikdash, after years of work, of building, and then davening, that should be niskabel, and that should be effective, and the Beis HaMikdash should indeed bring down Shechinah on Klal Yisrael, and there should always be a Beis Tefillah Chol HaAmim, that the Hashros, HaShechinah, the Nevuah that Shlomo Melech has after that intensive process of being in Beis HaMikdash, of intensive tefillah, that's the third and vivid shir. The fourth shir, the fourth nevuah that Shlomo has, is a less positive one. That's after he's already sunken in with Bas Paro, and he's drifted spiritually because of Bas Paro and other wives and other factors. Shlomo has drifted from the spiritual ideal that he had had, or from the ideal place he had been in earlier. That's Ani Yishen of Libier. I'm asleep. My heart is still awake, but my goof is sleeping. Every yid, is inside is always, neshama is always, the neshama's compass is always pointing at Kaddish Baruch Hu. But oftentimes you get distracted with our bodies. Ani yishen of a libi air. And that's where Kaddish Baruch Hu came knocking. The Dod comes, not called Dodi Dofik. And it's hard to get up and answer the call of the Dod. Even Kaddish Baruch Hu comes knocking. Divine opportunity knocks, and yet, Pashati Kutanti Chachel Bashana, in the fourth shir. Ah, I'm tired, I'm lazy. I don't want to get myself dirty with the work of reaching out to Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's that fourth shir. And finally, the fifth shir is the last time that Shlomo Melech's neshama connects with Ribono Shel, and that's at the end of his life. And that's why in the first four shirim, the shir ends with the Raya connects with the Dod, and then comes back to HaMelech, comes back to Beis HaMelech. In the fifth shir, the Raya connects with the Dod and does not come back to Beis HaMelech, because that represents the end of Shlomo's life. The end of Shlomo's life in Olam Hazeh. So what we have before us, and I just gave you the outline, but the outlines, as I said before, a lyrical diary of Shlomo Melech's experiences with Nevuah. And remember, Nevuah, as the Rambam tells us, and as the Mesillas Yesharim tells us, represents the top of the ladder in terms of different levels of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a human being can have. So this is Shlomo Melech's diary of the high points and the challenges of his passionate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as Rambam puts it, more generally, it's a diary of a human being's relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what Avos Hashem could look like. And I think it's a powerful reminder that even in an extraordinary life of Avos Hashem, it doesn't mean that there aren't rocky paths. And this extraordinary song, this extraordinary poem vast love between the dod and the raya, then there was still ebb and flow, and there was still two steps forward, one step back, and there was still this moment of kol dodi dofek, ani yishena v'li bi'er, where there was this hesitancy. I wasn't sure if I'm on, I'm off, I'm blowing hot and cold. And people go through that. People go through that oftentimes in emotional relationships and substantive emotional relationships with other people. And I can have a profound and meaningful relationship with another person, friendship, love. And there may be a rough spot, and that doesn't mean the relationship is over. Okay, we're going to have to work it through. You're going to have to rebuild. And what's true in a relation between people, it's true in a relation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And this mashal, I'll end with this thought that the Nesivus makes in his introduction to Shir HaShir. You know, the fact that the relationship between a man, the passionate relationship between a man and a woman, is the mashal of choice by Shlomo HaMelech to describe the relationship between either HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, or with the Rambam and the Malbim, and an individual Jew in Klal Yisrael. It tells us a lot about both. It tells us a lot about the relationship that can and should exist between husband and wife, that this is something of extraordinary power. And yes, there will sometimes be bumps along the road, but if this is, as Nasir's pointed out, if this is the best mashal we could find to describe the relationship between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and a Jew, wow, what power, what spiritual power and potential lies in the relationship between husband and wife. And, as Rambam pointed out to us, it gives us a sense of what it could look like to be passionate about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it allows us to dream big, that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our learning and our mitzvahs, our davening, our masim tovim, our work on midos, could be passionate, could be, the Rambam is describing, the cholas ahava, the lovesick, to be. It's not just I do the right thing, I'm a good Jew, I do the right thing. That's very important. And that's Avodah Meira. But it's a reminder, and if I'm not yet at this next Madrega, not something to beat myself up for. This is a long-term goal. But there's a long-term goal of dreaming for increased passion over the course of months and years and decades to ignite greater and greater passion, to do it because I care. I care about it, the mitzvahs, and I care about him, ultimately. I care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to do things because I'm in love with him. That's something that takes time and care to cultivate that fire. And Shir HaShirim, in Pesach, is a time when the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael was formed. This is when the romance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael began. And it is perhaps the minig of reading Shir HaShirim on Pesach, which is a minute that goes back at least 1,000 years, recorded in Megillah Sofrim, perhaps that minute captures the fact that it's not just that well over 3,000 years ago, at this time of the year, the romance began between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, but that there's something special about this time of the year that allows us, it's easier for us to rekindle that romance between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we be zocha to use Shir HaShirim and use Yom Tov Pesach in general to find new passion in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I both say thank you so much for joining. I hope that this will be the catalyst for you to spend some time over the next week and a half, to open a Shir HaShirim before, during, and after Shabbos Chol Moed, to not only read through the Psukim, and maybe open with a Malbim, and see how the Psukim fit in, and see what the story is, what the Mashal is, what the Nimshal is, and how it speaks to me. Or maybe just to use this layout of the Malbim to work through the Psukim oneself, and to begin to see the patterns, and to begin to see the passion. I'll share this as a file, so you can take it and use it. Thank you so, so much for joining.